Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Izzy Gutierrez. If you haven't figured it out yet, Dan's not on a break. This is a hostile takeover.
Yes.
This right here is my favorite human on the planet.
Oh, thank God he's back.
Sorry, Dad. That's Amin Al-Hassan. Amin, what do you like on the show today?
Oh, I like talking about Justin Verlander choking on a chicken bone.
Come on. Let's do this, Bobby.
Is it fair to label Justin Verlander a World Series choker?
I mean, this question. Never mind that Steven Strasburg now has a postseason ERA better than anybody outside of Sandy Koufax. Never mind that the Nationals have won 8 in a row, or that includes a win over Gerrit Cole, who hadn't lost since July. Never mind that Juan Soto looks so cool at the plate, looks like nothing bothers him, got on base 3 more times yesterday. Never mind all of that. Let's just look at Justin Verlander and say he's a choker and have this man turn himself purple. I mean, look, I understand he's 0-5 now in the World Series, and if you look at his ERA, yes, it's 5.7+. However, look at the rest of his postseasons in the ALCS and before that. He's got an ERA just under 3. He's been good. This is probably more to do with age of Justin Verlander pitching this late into the season. Has nothing to do with him choking in the World Series.
Izzy, who are you, man? Yesterday we sat here, we said, is the series over? The Nationals are going to take this? And you said, yes, because Justin Verlander hasn't been pitching well in the World Series
right
through his career. And yes, this is a big chance for them to go up. Well, guess what? The Nationals are up 2-0 now. And in World Series history, teams that go up 2-0, 44 out of 55 times have gone on to win. 17 of the last 18 have gone on to win. We go 2-0 in the series as the road team in a best of 7. 58% of the time it ends in a sweep.
Wow.
All of these things are pointing to, yes, the series is over, and there's only one person who we can point to as the reason for that being the case. That is the guy, Justin Verlander.
Oh, come on.
Look, he's great at getting his team into the World Series, and he's great at blowing it once they get there.
Outside of the first inning, he was... You okay? All right. Outside of the first inning, he was in a pitcher's duel. And then what happens? They change out his catcher. He had to throw to Martin Maldonado, who he had not thrown to all season long. First pitch he calls, Kurt Suzuki hits a home run. He'd had one hit in 28 plate appearances, okay? That's not him choking. Those are just circumstances, and I'm going to stop talking now, otherwise Poppy's going to run out of breath.
We need the EMTs in here real quick.
Was Kyrie's 50-point performance diminished when he missed his last shot?
Well, Kyrie Irving made his Brooklyn Nets debut. It started with an address of the crowd, or to the crowd, and it seemed a little disingenuous, a little contrived, kind of had to collect himself
for a minute.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Shocking. But he did score 50 in an overtime game. However, this was how that game ended. I mean, he was cooking people all night long, And this, even though it didn't look great, still got him open.
Oh, no.
Still was a mid-range.
I take offense to that. It did look great. It looked exactly like that move on NBA Street Volume 2.
Yes, the barrel roll or whatever it is.
And to keep his dribble alive was incredibly difficult. And he actually got a good look at the shot. He just didn't nail it. But here's something else. Why are we still doing this? Where we just give it to him and we let him ISO and then he just goes ahead and takes a shot. Look, here's the deal. Kyrie Irving is one of those really special talents. When you look at him in a vacuum, he is an amazing basketball player. The true triumph of skill over size or athleticism or any of the other things. His skill level is one of the best in the history of the league. Also, I don't know if you can win with a guy like that as your best player.
I don't really think that matters this year anyway, because he's not going to have Kevin Durant, and that's what you're going to see all year long. I'm telling you right now, that dude's winning the scoring title, and all those other Nets are just going to fall into their roles, and Kyrie Irving is going to look great by the end of the year.
Did you see the Celtics fans when he missed that shot?
No.
Hey!
All of the entire city. Take that, Kyrie. You lost again.
Is Marco Fultz fixed?
Well, that's a heck of a question. It's a great question to ask, though. I'd rather have that question than is Markelle Fultz ruined forever. He is now with the Orlando Magic, and last night had 12.6 rebounds, had a really nice, almost Russell Westbrook-like moment on a fast break dunk. But he was 0 for 3 from 3, only saw one jump shot from him. Is he fixed? I don't know. But I think the conversation should be, hey, is he on the way to being fixed? And I think that's just so much more healthy. You get him out of Philadelphia, get him out of that pressure-packed area where he was the number one pick, and maybe in Orlando we won't focus on him every single game, and he can eventually develop and become a nice player. Will he be a franchise-altering number one pick? Probably not, but he's got some serious NBA game.
Glass half full. He got to the rim. He finished in the paint. He did the thing things that we knew he could do with a guard with his size and athleticism, which is the stuff that I kind of wanted him to do in Philadelphia. I get it. The jump shot's not falling. There are other parts of your game that you can focus on and be pretty excellent at, given your skill set and your physical gifts. Glass half empty, he made 5 of his 6 shots in the paint. He was only 1-for-6 on shots outside of the paint, including 0-for-3, as you said. And most importantly, he didn't get to the free throw line one time. Still shying away from contact. Still on his mind the idea that these are the problem areas and I need to stay away from them as much as possible. I think that's something that you gotta monitor as we go on, because until he starts playing basketball freely, without making conscious decisions to avoid things, we're still not gonna have a fully realized Markelle Fultz.
I guess that the glass was half full. Is Adam Schefter getting you to think that Tom Brady could actually leave the Patriots?
Well, if you missed it on Monday Night Countdown, on Monday, Adam Schefter said, hey, he put the pieces together. Tom Brady's house is up for sale. His trainer's house is up for sale. His contract's up at the end of the year. There's a strong possibility he's either going to retire or move to another team. Tom Brady gave a kind of half denial on that, really just talked about playing on house money and having all this opportunity in front of him and who knows what's going to happen. Well, Adam Schefter responded to that. Here's what he said.
I would just say, look, there are three options, right? He's either staying in New England, he's retiring, or he's going to go play somewhere else. I would think of those three. That staying in New England, to me, would seem like the least likely option of the three. But
we'll see. The least likely option of the three.
I think he could go any which way. I think all three are in play. But I think it'd be more likely that he would retire or even perhaps move on than it would be to stay in New England. We'll see.
The two strongest words there were to me. Because if Adam Schefter is saying this on television, he's the one suggesting this, I'm pretty sure there's somebody nudging him in that direction. Now, I've had this discussion a few times and can't find a single person who will say, yes, I can totally see Tom Brady on another team. I can maybe see him on the LA Rams, maybe the Cowboys, maybe the Broncos, but that seems so far-fetched. Adam Schefter's telling you, nah, it might just happen.
Yeah, no, I think the important thing to take from here is that Adam Schefter's not a guy who throws his opinion out that often. He's stick to the facts most of the time, breaking us news. But for him to say this, to inject his opinion in this way, that's not by accident, like Izzy said. That means he must be feeling some rumblings that are out there that are not exactly reportable at this time. But you know what, Izzy? We're wasting our time. Is he going to retire? Is he going to leave? That's not an interesting conversation. The more interesting conversation is, if his goal is to leave the Patriots, to show up Bill Belichick, to prove that he's the reason for all the winning, what is the location where it sticks the hardest.
I mean, that's crazy interesting, because if he wants to do that, it makes you wonder, what is the reason for him to leave? Is it because Bill Belichick and the Patriots don't have enough faith in him anymore, which is insane to think about? Or is it just because he wants to try on another team and get away from Bill and see how he can have individualist success? And that's crazy dangerous, because if he fails, everybody says, oh no, you weren't that great. It was your coach the whole time.
Gotta go to New York. New York.
Should Kirk Cousins be in the MVP conversation if he trounces Washington tonight?
I mean, this question, I don't know if what's worse, this one or the Justin Verlander was. If there's one thing that Kirk Cousins is, it's awkwardly defiant, right? Though you like that, but it's also when people try to label him as something, he totally acts the other way all of a sudden. We feel like we had Kirk Cousins labeled as a guy who can't beat good teams, as a guy who's inaccurate. His own receivers, well, Adam Thielen, his own receiver was questioning him and his ability to throw the deep ball. Another receiver, Stephon Diggs, requested a trade reportedly. And yet, you look at Kirk Cousins' numbers, he's leading the league in yards per attempt, he's got a 114.3 rating, and he's got 13 touchdowns completing nearly 70% of his passes. I don't know who this guy is. We really have no idea. But all of a sudden, we're talking about him with potentially the MVP. It's absolutely insane. I'm sure Bomani Jones's mind is exploding somewhere.
This question is the prime example of when the HQ producers are quote-unquote trolling. Come on, guys. Let's be real here. So first of all, you can't be the MVP if you're not even the best quarterback in your own division, right? Let alone the conference, let alone the league. He's not even the best quarterback in his division. Aaron Rodgers is sitting there right there with a 6-1 record, killing things as always. But then the other part of this is, what does in the conversation even mean? It means you're not really the MVP, but you're having a good season, buddy. So let's get your name out there and make you feel good about it. And finally, if he is going to be the MVP, it'll happen after beating a team that is better than Washington.
Hey,
like, come on now. This is the high water mark of his career.
He beat
Washington on Thursday night. Now he's an MVP. Get out of here.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
They are. And look, I mean, she could have done something so much easier than that and would have impressed everybody in that crowd. Instead, she did something that looks impossible for most other humans and still managed to throw strikes.
My son's TV show is brought to you by Domino's. Order online and track your order. Time to play the game that is back and ready to dominate. Do your question.
Oh, we're so glad you're back. Yes, you give us topics and events and we question them.
Do you question who had the more spectacular dunk, Derrick Jones Jr. or Damian Lillard?
Well, a lot of people know who Damian Lillard is. Not all NBA fans really know who Derrick Jones Jr. is. His nickname is Airplane Mode, which is kind of a questionable nickname because that just makes my phone go to sleep, essentially. But here he was last night against the Memphis Grizzlies, getting a pass from Goran Dragic. And just, I mean, it was more of a thrunk than it was a dunk because he didn't really get there.
That extension, though. Look at that.
Look at that. How much bigger is Valanciunas than he is? He's way bigger.
Yeah, a lot bigger.
I mean, that is a heck of a poster. But little men seem to do that better when they dunk over big guys. And here was Damian Lillard doing that. I mean, this is just coming downhill. Spin move, lost him. Rock! It wasn't over a big man, but it was still quite the dunk.
Yeah, see, my thing is this. I feel like the spin move is really the highlight of this dunk. Yeah. It's a nice dunk, but Jamal Murray, who's not known as a rim protector, got out of the way. He made a business decision. The highlight there is he drops Mason Plumlee with this spin move almost comically. Look, he's just kind of flailing around. With Derrick Jones Jr., he went chest-to-chest with Jonas Valanciunas, who's 7 feet tall with a lot of length. And, you know, hey, man, Airplane Mode, by the way, is a great nickname because my buddy John Bloom out in Phoenix gave him that nickname.
We have another contender. LaMelo Ball.
Oh, yeah? This is out in Australia, huh? Oh, that is pretty.
That is pretty.
That'll make you forget he's shooting 36% from the field.
Aw, he's 18 years old, man. Give him a break.
By the way, awkwardly growing hair just like we are.
There you go.
Do you question if Hassan Whiteside matched Nikola Jokic's intensity?
Look, I watched this Heat-Grizzlies game yesterday, and the type of response I got from Heat fans was basically this. Thank goodness Hassan's not here anymore. The type of effort that Miami Heat players play with is not the exact type of effort Hassan Whiteside offers, as evidenced here in his first game as a Portland Trailblazer. Getting backed down by Nikola Jokic.
This is like the practice court one-on-one drill that you do.
You can see Mark Jackson's head pop up over Hassan saying, hand down, man down. Put some sort of effort into there. That's the stuff that was maddening down here in Miami.
Hassan Whiteside is always going to be the captain of the box score says he did great. When you watch him play, it's a different story.
That was bad defense, but I've seen worse.
No way. That was the worst.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? You're right, Bobby.
This guy.
The hands in the pockets is what really sells it. And the slow stroll.
You think you learned how to play defense from James Harden?
Oh, man. See, why you gotta get strange, man?
Too easy. Yeah. Too easy.
Do you question if this Ben Simmons shot is more impressive than the jumper would have been?
Well, everybody wanted to see Ben Simmons take a jumper or a three-point shot because he took one and made one in the preseason. But this is what Ben Simmons should be known for, shots like this. Here he is on the break. Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even take a second step. Just a natural basketball talent. Like, you look at him and forget about that three-point shot. If he ends up being like a 25% three-point shooter this year, fantastic. But he needs to be the guy that leads this team, and he looked like it last night.
He's not going to even shoot enough three-pointers for us to have a conversation about what his percentage is. No, that's fine. The only thing I look at that clip and think of is Tobias Harris. Tragic Brunson. I don't want you running the break.
I have a counterpoint.
What's it?
Aaron Baines was a
big part
of their defense last year as well.
What was that?
Oh,
I mean, come on now.
It's Robert Williams.
Robert Williams is a beast down low. I mean, you know what? He deserved that, though.
Do you question if Simone Biles' first pitch was impressive?
Well, I believe everything Simone Biles does is impressive, but she threw out the first pitch in the Game 2 of the World Series, and of course she had to do it with a special kind of flair.
Simone Biles, American gold medal gymnast from Austin Summer, Spring, Texas.
And look, I mean, she could have done something so much easier than that and would have impressed everybody in that crowd. Instead, she did something that looks impossible for most other humans and still managed to throw a strike somehow.
You know what? I'm going to be that guy. Not impressive.
Oh, come on.
That's what she does on a daily basis. Why are we impressed by her doing a gymnastic thing? That's something that she does in her sleep. And by the way, I would have been more impressed if she threw the pitch while she was flipping. Then I'd be impressed. Or if the ball was on the ground, and as soon as she landed, she picks it up and throws a strike when she's all discombobulated. But right there, she landed, then she walks to the side, and someone else hands her the ball, and then she's able to take a look. And the pitch itself, I mean, what is that, an Epis pitch? She lobbed it way high in the air. If anybody would have gotten at the bat over there, they would have taken it out of the park, 500 yards.
She's taller than Altuve.
Wait.
That is, I believe it.
The fact that I had to think about it makes
I believe
that funny.
It.
Do you question if this defender is too fast?
I mean, you know I spend a lot of my free time playing flag football, right?
Once or twice.
Yeah, it's not with kids age 6 or 7, but we're taking you out, the 6 or 7-year-olds here playing flag football. Let's see if this defender was too fast.
Yep. Oh, wow.
No, no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I've got to say, I think that's happened to me before. Look at the Hezzy. Whoop.
Oh,
lost
man.
Him. By the way, that's a jump cut. That's flag guarding. 5-yard penalty. Lost him down. That kid needs to go back. Nope.
I hate you so much, man.
Highly questionable. This broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami. Time to play the game that thinks the Heat are locked for the one seed. See? Oh, no.
Kendrick Nunn, Rookie of the Year. Bank on it. You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Bucks and Rockets.
Oh, this is going to be a fun debut. James Harden and Russell Westbrook back together again. It's the first game of the season for them, though, so we don't have any footage from this year. So we're going to take you back to when they were the closest they've ever been to winning a championship. Oh, come on. That's just, I mean, they're really close, though. I mean, they are really close. They've never made it to the final round. Yes, they have. They have one time together. Oh, that's just mean, man.
But I still want to watch this game.
How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. These guys are going to start hating each other by the third quarter.
Maybe the third minute. Maybe the third minute. After he tries one of those crazy sideways threes.
Tonight at 10:30 p.m., Clippers and Warriors.
Well, of course, it's Warriors, their new arena, Kawhi Leonard's second game as a Clipper. His first game, he decided to address the crowd right before the game. Mind you, this is a home game. Here he was.
Please make noise for Clippers forward, Kawhi Leonard!
Hey. Welcome, Clipper fans, to the game tonight. It's going to be a great season. We're going to work hard every night, and let's get it going.
When you have to cover the microphone because the boos are so loud, how is it possibly a home game? Amin, are you intrigued?
Shades of Fat Albert with that, hey. Of course I'm intrigued. And by the way, all those Laker fans are just salty because he went to the other team and they beat their you-know-whats.
What'd it do, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued, but they shouldn't be booing Kawhi. No. They should be booing LeBron.
Of course. Give them a few games. They'll be booing LeBron in no time.
Streaming on Netflix, Dancing with the Birds.
Normally on this show, we tend to like to show you mating rituals. And here is a mating ritual between some birds of paradise.
Birds of paradise?
Attracting the perfect partner is a challenge for all male birds of paradise. To attract a female, looking good is only half the story. To seal the deal, he must get creative and dazzle her with his performance. It really catches the eye. Who wouldn't be impressed with these moves? Okay, it's not exactly Swan Lake, but it works.
You know, they better show the actual intercourse because I don't believe those are actual mating rituals. I just believe their camera's getting great shots of birds. How about you, Amin? Are you intrigued?
I love the bird that looks like he's kind of like, ooh, me? Yes, I am intrigued.
He's getting a lot of action. How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. Those are not my favorite birds. These are!
Oh, Poppy!
Everybody's favorite birds.
You can't do that.
Finally, they've arrived.
TV?
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching.
Thanks for watching. Is Dan coming back? Nobody knows.
Nobody cares either.
Bring it in, boys.
That's my favorite part of the day.
I miss you, Poppy. Thanks for coming, Juan.
How do I smell?
Oh. Way to ruin. Not that bad.
Way to ruin the moment.